If you've been following Kansas government for the last year or so, and as a faithful State House Blend listener, I know that you have, there are three words you might have heard more than any others: satisfy the court. Well, that's because last year the Kansas Supreme Court ruled that the state was not spending enough on its public schools. In fact, it said spending was unconstitutionally low. But what the justices didn't say was how much more would be enough. In other words, how much would satisfy them. But a new development has radically changed the conversation, potentially to the tune of $2 billion. We'll get into that right after we update you on some other recent developments in Topeka. I'm Jim McLean, and this is State House Blend, Kansas. Hello once again, Stephen Caranda, State House Bureau Chief, Kansas Public Radio, a Kansas News Service partner. Stephen, it was quite an eventful week around the State House. It started out with a fairly large rally at the State House. As I understand it, moms and kids, the day that students walked out from schools across the country, a fair number did the same here, and they marched, at least from Topeka High School, directly to the State House and rallied there. You were there. What did they want?
These students were basically rallying against gun violence. So they came to the State House holding signs, chanting. There were hundreds of them. They filled up this huge staircase on the outside of the State House. And as they were leaving, I talked to one of the students, 16-year-old Brenna Allen Snyder, who said she understands Second Amendment gun rights, but to her, there should be certain types of weapons that need to be banned.
We need to make it so that civilians can't have weapons that are meant to kill people for reward, because that's the only intention for those weapons, and they have no place on the streets.
To her and some of the other students there, they really wanted lawmakers to take action, to restrict certain types of guns or do other things that they said would make them as students safer. And one thing she added to me as she was leaving was, you know, they're going to be in charge soon. And so if lawmakers don't make changes now, she believes her generation will when they're lawmakers.
Yeah, a lot of people are giving credit to the students in Florida for really pushing the legislature there to enact something. Of course, Kansas lawmakers aren't talking about anything so drastic as banning certain types of weapons. That's not even under consideration.
That type of thing would be a real uphill battle here in the Kansas legislature.
Well, it seems like pretty much all gun legislation is, although one of the bills, as I understand it, that the kids, and there were a fair number of moms in red T-shirts, weren't there?
There's this group, Moms Demand Action, that was rallying in support of this bill in the legislature. I know you've covered it. Mm-hmm. That has to do with guns in the hands of domestic abusers. And they were rallying outside the State House at the very same time that these students came walking up to the legislature.
Yeah, this bill you refer to, as I understand it, it is a bill that already cleared the House unanimously. It came out of a Senate committee with some amendments that made it a little bit controversial, and it essentially syncs state law up with federal law. Federal law prohibits persons who have been convicted of misdemeanor domestic abuse in the last 5 years from owning or possessing firearms. It also prohibits people who are under active restraint orders from a court, harassment orders, stalking orders, that type of thing. They can't possess guns either. And so as I understand it, this bill would allow state law enforcement, local law enforcement, to enforce those federal prohibitions. That's the bill that the moms were specifically asking be passed, right?
Correct. And their argument is this is the kind of common sense gun legislation that people on both sides of the aisle can agree to.
There are a lot of other things going on as we really approach first adjournment here. And so the session is winding down. And one of the things they're spending a lot of time talking about these days are tax bills, revenue-raising proposals, right? And you've covered a fair number of those. You covered the hearing about raising the statewide property tax, the mill levy for schools. And there was a hearing this week on raising the tobacco tax.
That's right. So they've been kind of throwing a lot of different proposals at the wall. And the latest one is a $1.50 increase per pack on cigarettes, as well as a percentage increase on other tobacco products. And there were several dozen supporters of it there who supported it for a variety of reasons. One of them was director of the KU Cancer Center, Roy Jensen, who said that raising tobacco taxes has health benefits from causing people to stop or never start smoking. And he said it makes financial sense, too, because it saves money through health insurance and programs like Medicaid.
You and me pay the health care cost associated with this scourge on our society.
Of course, there were some opponents of it who said, you know, this is just going to drive people over the line to places like Missouri, which has a much lower tobacco tax and would basically be a tax that would hit lowest income people the hardest, who are more likely to smoke.
Well, something that I'm curious as to whether it's on or off the table, but you covered this too there. Some lawmakers are at least talking about amending the state law that created the Kansas lottery, expanding it to allow betting on sporting events. An apropos topic, I guess, during, you know, March Madness.
Yeah, pretty soon they could be tapping into those NCAA brackets and getting a little money for the state is the idea.
But looking into, doesn't federal law preclude states from doing that?
This is why they're looking at it. So there is a case before the U.S. Supreme Court involving New Jersey. Federal law currently bars most states, including Kansas, from having legal sports betting. But if the U.S. Supreme Court knocks down the federal law, which some people think they might do, that would open the door to states being able to legalize sports gambling. So that is why Kansas lawmakers are now looking at this, and Republican Representative John Barker said it's a good idea to look at it because this could potentially be a source of revenue for the state.
You never know what the Supreme Court's going to do, but a number of states have kind of jumped on the bandwagon looking at this.
So this is something they're sort of looking at preemptively. Some states are even considering passing laws before the Supreme Court rules.
Have them ready to go.
Yeah, saying if the Supreme Court says X, then this law will take effect.
Right. So the way the legislature works is they work for a while, and then they get to this turnaround point where bills that have been introduced in one house have to be on their way over to the other house. That's called the turnaround deadline. And then they work for a while longer, and they reach their spring break period.
First adjournment.
And they reach what they call first adjournment. And then they're gone for a couple of weeks, and they come back for what used to be known as the veto session.
Well, it's still known as that, but now it's where they tackle everything they haven't finished yet.
Right, and it used to be just a few days, and it's extended into weeks in previous sessions.
So now the veto session, it goes as long as it takes.
And we'll be here as long as it takes. Stephen Kranda, thanks a bunch. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
As you heard in my conversation with Stephen Kranda, the Kansas Senate recently spent several hours debating gun safety proposals with little to show for it. But we didn't get a chance to take you behind the scenes to get into how tensions flared around one bill in particular. Called a red flag bill, it would create a legal process for temporarily taking guns away from people considered a danger to themselves or others. It's a process that supporters say can help keep people safe when domestic disputes become heated, and they say it can prevent suicides. Law enforcement can intervene now, but only in very limited circumstances, and there's no formal process for determining who is at risk, and no process for returning a person's guns once the danger has passed. Several other states have similar laws on the books or are considering them in response to the recent mass shooting in Florida. And Senator Barbara Bollier of Mission Hills Republican has made it her mission to get one on the books here in Kansas. But she's run into roadblock after roadblock. First, she couldn't get a hearing. The Senate leaders agreed to schedule one, but only if she agreed not to trigger a long floor debate, as lawmakers were struggling to get past a mid-session deadline. She said okay, but later learned that the hearing would be for show only, meaning the committee didn't intend to send the bill to the Senate floor for a vote. So she tried to force the issue by offering it as an amendment during last week's debate. Senate rules prevented that, but the attempt angered Senator Richard Wilborn nonetheless. He's the committee chair who reluctantly agreed to give Bollier's bill a show hearing.
The good senator from Johnson indicated that we had agreement. We would have a hearing in lieu of bringing a floor amendment, so therefore that agreement is broken.
Wilborn then canceled the hearing. Bollier says she didn't break the deal because, in fact, she did hold off. She didn't offer her amendment on the day she had originally planned, the last day before the legislature's mid-session deadline.
It had to do with that particular bill on that particular day, and I knew they didn't want to run any kind of gun bills at that time. So we didn't discuss anything, quote, in the future.
Bollier is trying to keep the bill alive, but her chances of succeeding appear slim at best. She's also defending herself against Wilborn's charge that she lied when she said the NRA supported bills like hers. To show she didn't, Bollier played an NRA video for reporters.
These laws allow a court to intervene and temporarily remove firearms when a person threatens violence to themselves or others.
The text that Wilborn referred to may have come from the NRA's state chapter, the Kansas Rifle Association. But it's clear from the video that Bollier was on solid ground when she said the NRA supports red flag laws.
We can take action and prevent violence and protect the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding Americans at the same time. That's what the 5 million men and women of the NRA are committed to do. And we hope you'll join us in getting it done.
As we said, it appears the debate over the red flag bill is done for this session. But we'll continue to keep our eye on it just in case Boyer somehow manages to revive it. During his last State of the State speeches, swan song speech, former Governor Sam Brownback said the state should spend an additional $600 million on schools to satisfy the latest Supreme Court ruling. That surprised most lawmakers and angered some, namely those who want to spend less. They've been hoping ever since that a study being done by an outside consultant would buttress their case. Well, that much-anticipated study is now in, and at least at first glance, it doesn't appear to give those lawmakers the rhetorical ammunition they were looking for.
No, it suggests a few different scenarios. And mind you, it is 160 pages long, and I think lawmakers are really going to be digging into this, unpacking this for quite some time now.
That's Kansas News Service reporter Celia Yopis-Jepson. She joins us to help explain this important development in Kansas's ongoing school funding debate.
Last year, Kansas did a very brief four-page study to figure out what they should spend on schools. And they used that in their legal arguments, and the court wasn't convinced. This time around, the court has said, we want to see your work. We want to see what you're basing your numbers on. We don't want it to be something arbitrary. This happens to be what we can afford right now. That's not going to cut it because we're talking about tens of thousands of kids here who are falling between the cracks, who don't have the math and reading that they need to succeed in life. So what is politically expedient right now is just not going to cut it. So they want to see evidence. And that's where this report comes in. Let's have experts figure out what it costs to fund our schools, what we need to potentially add or maybe not add to fix the achievement gaps that we're seeing. Presumably, this could factor into what Kansas does to satisfy the Supreme Court and the arguments that they make to the Supreme Court. Now, I think the results are catching people off guard. These consultants are looking at various goals. For example, how high do we want to get our graduation rate? What's our target for how many students we want to be on grade level in math and reading? And they're setting out different cost scenarios based on those different goals. So there's still a lot of work here for lawmakers to figure out which set of goals are needed to satisfy the court.
So as such, there's no easy number. Like we had the $600 million number that has been in play for a long time. You can't just see this report and say, okay, it says this much, X number of dollars. It depends on lawmakers sifting through this and deciding which of these scenarios they want to follow as to how much it's going to cost.
If they trust what's in the report, there could still be a lot of political wrangling over where to set the targets and what that means for the final price tag.
And what's the range in terms of what the final price tag could be?
It is anything from $450 million to $2 billion.
My gosh, that's quite a range.
Yes, you heard me right, $2 billion. And yes, that is quite a range. And if you think, again, that the plaintiffs were talking about, hey, we really need another $600 million, $2 billion is well beyond that.
And so, you know, a lot of people tend to really fixate on the cost here, and there are already legislators reacting to this. Senate President Susan Wagle quickly put out a news release that essentially threw down the gauntlet and said, if we have to raise this much money to satisfy the court ruling, that other areas of government will suffer. So what has the reaction been?
Well, I think there's a lot of thoughts going on. First of all, we're going to see a lot of questions about, is all the data in the report accurate? Are the conclusions accurate? Which, keep in mind, Kansas paid $250,000 for it. So hopefully
we got our money's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we got our money's worth. So that's going to be one thing. And then, you know, what can Kansas actually afford is going to be another question. And keep in mind, in the middle of all of this, we have higher education, the state universities, begging not to be cut and to have funding restored. And they are saying the cost of education for students when they reach college, it has been going up for years and years. And the student presidents of those state universities actually asking the court in this case if they can submit a brief arguing, please keep in mind that higher education is very much an important part of the system as well. They do not want higher education sacrificed to pay for for K-12.
So there's already a lot of anticipation about winners and losers, depending on how much more money we have to spend for public schools.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of concern about that. And as you know, Jim, based on everything we cover here at the Kansas News Service, that's not just higher education. It's healthcare. It's any part of government functions. There's always a concern of, you know, how is the price tag of this school finance lawsuit affecting other parts of state
government? Because it will affect everything potentially, everything else.
I mean, it's hard to imagine how it doesn't.
Nobody quite knew what to expect. So what kind of reaction were you hearing when, as this was initially being explained to legislators?
From the side of Democrats and even, you know, moderate Republicans who have very much for a long time now been in favor of increasing funding for schools and feel that schools are in fact underfunded, they feel vindicated. So here's, for example, Jim Ward, the House Minority Leader, who is also running for governor.
It proves what we've been saying in the legislature and in the courts, that we've underfunded schools significantly over a long period of time.
From people like Jim Ward and others who have been clamoring for a lot more money for public schools, it's kind of a lot of I told you so.
Yeah, it's a hallelujah. This shows that there is a connection between how much money you put in and what you get out in terms of math, reading scores, graduation rates, etc. Cough up more money, please, state of Kansas. It's kind of like the angle they're coming from.
So what about legislators who are a little bit more skeptical about, you know, having the need to spend hundreds of millions, if not billions, of additional dollars in the public school system? How are they reacting?
So far, we're hearing questions, for example, again, about the reliability of the report in terms of, are there data errors? And then, a lot of, let's not jump to any conclusions. There's a lot of information in this report, which is absolutely true, and a lot of complicated math. And so everyone's going to need time to digest it and figure out what is right for the state of Kansas. So here's, for example, Senator Molly Baumgartner, and she's in charge of the Senate Education Committee.
We don't know exactly what it says. We're going to read, and we'll go from there.
So a very complicated report, several different scenarios, and depending on which scenario you choose to follow, different potential price tags, anywhere from, as you say, just under $500 million to all the way to $2 billion. And so how in the short amount of time that lawmakers have to work on this are they going to wrestle all this to the ground?
That is the potentially $2 billion question, Jim.
Well, obviously, a lot more to come on this topic. We're just at the initial stages of this very important debate. And Celia, we really appreciate you, one, scouring through the report and giving us your at least initial impressions of it. And we look forward to hearing from you again in subsequent weeks as the legislature digs in and makes sense of it all.
Thanks so much, as always.
We'll, of course, be following what happens with the school funding debate and everything else happening at the State House between now and when lawmakers hope to adjourn sometime later this spring. But for now, I'm Jim McLean saying, hey, thanks a lot for listening, and inviting you to join us again next week for another edition of State House Blend, Kansas.